I wanted to just kind of put something on the screen and go ahead and get it out of the way, since next week is when it all begins. Next week's when it really matters. I know there was some yesterday, but next week, this is gonna get real. This is the preseason AP top 25 college football poll. Now I just got a couple questions, and you can't. This is not a right or wrong thing. This is just a thing. Okay. In fact, if you're not a Christian, you can participate, and nothing bad or good will happen to you. Well, I don't know, depending on what kind of fan you're sitting next to. Okay. But we try to be nice. So Clemson is ranked preseason number 4. Quick question. How many people think that at the end of the season they'll be number 4 or higher? How many think number 4 or lower? Lower, okay. I'm not saying anything, just I'm asking opinions. South Carolina is 13th. It's an unlucky number for like 13. I mean, anyway, how many people think that at the end of the season, South Carolina will be ranked higher than 13? Okay, how many people think they'll be ranked lower? Okay. BYU, okay, I'm just kidding. We won't pick on the Mormons. At the end of the day, let's just pick on a team that nobody probably, Arizona State. Okay, probably nobody here cares about Arizona State. And if you do, what were you doing in Tucson, okay? Because that's where I went to rehab. I know what's in Arizona. I know what's in Tucson. So Arizona State is ranked number 11 preseason. Now, if they go 12-0, will they be ranked higher than number 11? Yes or no? Yes, of course. If they go 4-7, will they even be ranked in the top 25? No. This is the point I'm trying to make. This is the preseason top 25. These rankings, in about 3 weeks at least, maybe 2, will not matter at all. The only rankings that really matter are the rankings that come out on December 7th when the NCAA playoff committee meets to establish the teams that make the playoff. This right here, this is based on no games played. Can we all agree, whether we like where our team is or not, this is a meaningless poll. It doesn't matter what happens here. What matters is the win-loss record at the end of the season. Yes? So with that in mind, and don't answer this out loud, and you don't even have to write this down. And the reason I'm not going to ask you to write this down is because most people wouldn't write down an honest number. But on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not hardly at all, 10 being the best ever, where would you rank yourself today in your personal journey or your walk with Jesus? How are you doing in your walk with Jesus? Now, once again, this is a personal evaluation question. This is you evaluating you. Don't ask your spouse, because they'll tell you, oh, you don't have any negative numbers on there, babe. Where would you rank yourself on a scale from 1 to 10 in regards to how you feel like you're doing in your walk or your journey with Jesus? Because here's what I want to tell you. Maybe you started the year with really good intentions, and maybe life happened, maybe summer happened, maybe that extra week at the beach happened. Like, I don't know what happened, but something happened, and you're not quite where you want to be, or you're not quite where you think you should be. Here's what I want you to know: just like that top 25 poll, where you are right now doesn't matter. It's where we end up at the end of the year. And if you're here, you could be here. And if you're here, you could be here. And if you're here, hey, if you don't watch it, you could be back here. Can't lose your salvation, but we can lose the joy of our salvation, can't we? What I'm trying to say is, it doesn't matter where you are on your journey with Jesus. Today, I'm gonna teach you a one-sentence prayer I'm going to issue a 30-day challenge. Pray it every day for 30 days. And It's not just a prayer you can pray and forget. It's a prayer you got to kind of work out in your life. I will guarantee you, that your walk with Jesus will absolutely improve. I didn't say it would get easier. In fact, for some people, if you pray this prayer, it's going to get a little bit harder. I love that. Everyone's like, oh, crap. But I can promise you it'll get better. Now, when I say prayer, a lot of people kind of freak out. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm not a good prayer person, and I've confessed to you from this stage, I'm not a good prayer person either. So let me teach you three things about prayer before we get to the actual prayer. There's a lot of notes to fill in today. All my type A people, are you so happy about all those blanks on that outline, all right? Here we go. The first thing you need to know about prayer is concise. The prayer I'm gonna teach you today is concise. Somebody called me yesterday, and I haven't talked to this person in 8 years, so I didn't answer the phone. I just said, I'll let it go to voicemail, and they didn't leave me a voicemail, so I didn't call them back. Well, that's rude. No, it's not, because if you've got something that you need for me to know, you will text me. How many people would rather get a text than a phone call? Raise your hand. Yeah, and if you don't have your hand raised, you're just a weird person. I mean, that's just weird. But I'll tell you what I don't like. Everybody's got one. You got that one person in your life that they'll send you a voice note. You know what I'm talking about? And this is my rule. If the voice note is over 2 minutes long, I don't listen. It's my rule. What if it's important? You better shorten it down. If it's important, you can say it in a minute or less. I'm dying. Send help. I got that. I can respond to that. But don't you have that friend? Or don't you have that friend that's got the funny video on their phone that they want you to watch, and they trap you, and 7 minutes later, you feel like you are in hell watching this cat video, and you're like, when's the cat gonna fly out of the ceiling fan? Because I'm getting tired of watching this video. All of us have been there. We don't like things that just drag out. And that's why, for me personally, when people go, can we have like an hour long prayer time? I'm like, no, that sounds awful. Because listen, if you're a prayer person, if you're an intercessor and that's your gift, please put me at the top of the list. But prayer time, it wasn't given to us as a punishment. It was given to us as a gift. And we don't have to drag it out and make it this long thing that it's not. It can be concise. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Where are you coming up with this crazy idea? Answer, this man named Jesus, in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, this is what he said about prayer. When you pray, not if you pray, when. In other words, it's an expectation, correct? So when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do, and some translations say as the pagans do, because people that worship false gods, they felt like they had to say things over and over and over and over again for God to understand. And isn't it funny Christians say do the same thing? We'll pray for something over and over and over and over, convinced that God never hears us, but we cuss one time and we ask for forgiveness 17 times because we know he heard us cuss, but we don't think he heard our prayers. I'm just confessing right now. I don't know how y'all feel. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you what I wrestle with sometimes. So he said, don't babble. Just Jesus, this is what Jesus is saying. Hey, get to the point. No voice notes over 2 minutes long, okay? Just get. What do you want me to do? I'm busy running a universe here, okay? He said, they think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. So Jesus said, hey, when you pray, keep it short. God does not need a novel. God does not need War and Peace. God just needs, just tell him what you're thinking. Tell him what you're feeling. Tell him what you want. Keep it short and sweet and simple. That just set some people free. And it made some people mad, but that's okay because you're mad when you got here. Number two, connection. Connection. Now, this is always fun because I get you to tell on yourself. And the reason I get you to tell on yourself is because it makes me feel better about myself. How many people have ever been, let's just say, in a public place, like a Target or a Walmart or a Publix or a Winn-Dixie, and you heard someone call your name or you saw someone, and instead of running to them, you either A, pretended you did not hear them, or B, hid from them. Raise your hand right now. Praise God, these are my people right here. Pastor P, I saw you the other day. Oh, yeah. Didn't see you. And they're down there doing this. I got a flare gun. Now, I've been there and you've been there, and that's, it is what it is, because sometimes we just want to go grocery shopping. But then, if you're a parent and you've been in a crowd of people, like you're in a crowd of people, and your child or one of your children say mommy or daddy, and they have that little bit of urgency in their voice, isn't it funny how you can pick your child's voice out so quickly? And isn't it funny, as soon as you hear it, you run to it? Am I right so far? Okay, if that's true about us as parents, how much more so is that true about our Heavenly Father? When we call out to Him, as soon as we call out to Him, boom, there's a connection. Because He hears our voice. We're told, and I talked about this verse last week, but we're told in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. And we said Abba is a Hebrew word. That means daddy. Now, let me tell you where this stood out to me. I was downtown Jerusalem getting ready to preach at a church for Messianic Jews. That's Jews that believe in Jesus. This is what was crazy. We were in an upper room, and there were 120 of them in the room. And I went, this is kind of cool. What if Pentecost happened? It didn't. But I thought it might be cool. Anyway, I'm standing there talking with the pastor, and he's got this four-year-old little daughter that's trying to get his attention, and she's coming up, and she's standing there, and I'm talking to him, and she starts pulling on his pants leg, and she starts going, Abba, Abba, Abba. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and like tears just formed in my eyes, and he went, it just got a little bit more real, didn't it? Because I saw this little girl calling out to her daddy, and I saw him stop and give her attention. And that's the kind of connection that we have with our Heavenly Father. Listen, whether you feel it or not, because your feelings will lead you astray. Which leads to the third part, is the third thing that prayer will do for us. It'll bring us clarity. And how many of us, and you don't even have to raise your hand here, but how many of us could use a little bit more clarity when it comes to some decisions we need to make in the future? I need some clarity. I do. Y'all pray. God help us all. Shannon's already talking about adopting another one. Babe, can we get a puppy or something? Oh, God. So Jesus, now, combining this last verse, the last verse with this verse, this is where the prayer that I've just said and wrote down about a year ago hit me. Jesus said this. He said in Luke 13:11, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, pause. Moms and dads, let me ask you a question. Is there a better feeling on the planet than seeing your kid just get filled with so much joy? Isn't that the greatest feeling? Like right now, Judah is only like 2.5 weeks old, and so he'll smile every once in a while, but it's a fart smile, you know what I'm talking about? Because babies, when they don't smile, they're farting, and that's the smile. That's why they smile. It's like 3 or 4 months in. But I remember years ago, when Karis was just a little bitty baby, and people were like, oh, you need to take her to Build-A-Bear. And I was like, we're not going to Build-A-Bear. Build-A-Bear's stupid. Build-A-Bear is a scam. Somebody, it's overpriced teddy bears. What idiot will pay $50 for a teddy bear? So one day we're over at the Haywood Mall. We're walking around. She's 3 or 4 years old, and she's like, I want to go in there. I was like, we can go in there, but we're not getting anything. We walked in there. She saw this little bear that was on sale. And her face just, y'all, have you ever just seen your kid's face just light up? She's like, Daddy. I was like, yeah, we can get that. Let's get it. We got over. Do you want the sound? Yeah, we want the sound thing. We want the sound thing. You want some clothes? Yeah, get the clothes. In fact, get it two outfits, because that one outfit. I spent between the ages of 3 and 10, I spent $14 million at Build-A-Bear. And don't judge me, because parents, don't you? We do it. If we see something bringing our children joy, doesn't that bring us joy? Yes or no? Now, also as parents, think about this. Have you ever had to step in and interrupt what your child thought was joy? Because while it might have been bringing them joy in the moment, you knew it was going to bring them pain long term. Let me give you an illustration. I have a friend that lives in Oklahoma. Him and his wife have 6 kids. Yeah. I said, you do know what causes that, right? And he said, yep, but we're not willing to give it up. I said, my man. His next to youngest kid is out in the backyard one day, and he's having so much fun. He's like, my friend, daddy, come here. And he come up, goes, looks, and the kid's having so much joy. And looks down, and his youngest son, I think it was about 4 at the time, was playing with a copperhead snake. Now, in this kid's mind, was this bringing him joy? Yeah, absolutely. But in the father's mind, and my friend, he's like a man's man. He grabbed the snake and happened to have a shovel with him, put it aside, chopped the snake in half, right? Because the only good snake's a dead snake. Every once in a while, you run, I'm a reptile lover. Well, you're freaking weird. You need to stop. You need to at least upgrade to a cat, okay? I mean, there you go. So he chops the snake in half, and the little boy just freaks out. He's freaking, you hurt my friend. You kill my friend. But did the dad had to step in and protect the child, because had he not, what the child was playing with could have killed him, yes? And that's why God is telling some of you to break up with that guy you're dating. He's a copperhead snake. He's bringing you joy right now, but he's going to kill your walk with Jesus. Don't know who that was for, but I felt something on that. I felt a little extra on it right there. That felt, don't know what that was. What that was. Whew. Dude just got nervous. Whoa. What's wrong with me? You're a snake, dude. You need to give your life to Christ. That's what's wrong. Give your life to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Get baptized next week. You'll be better, I promise. Now, Jesus said, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children. And this next part, when I finally wrapped my mind around it, it blew my mind. Then how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He said, in other words, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who, let's say this word on three, 1, 2, 3, ask him. Now, anytime you talk about the Holy Spirit, a couple things happen. All the Baptists and Presbyterians and Catholics get nervous. Oh, gosh. And I used to be in that category, because I had a friend of mine when I was in high school invited me to his church. I said, what kind of church you got? He said, it's a Spirit-filled church. I went, oh, okay. Had no idea what I was walking into. Walked into a church. I'm sitting there, and we're just kind of singing a song, and it was upbeat, and the song stopped, and all of a sudden somebody was like, come on, they leave the master. And I was like, whoa, what just happened? Everybody was, and this woman stood up. She's about this tall, and she's like, I am the Lord. I was like, the Lord is tiny. This is weird.
Now, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? Because Baptists and Presbyterians, they never talk about the Holy Spirit, and sometimes the hyper-charismatics talk about the Holy Spirit so much that they don't even talk about Jesus. And so I don't want you to be nervous about this, but I'm going to teach you this prayer, and I'm going to unpack it a little bit, and then we'll walk out practically how it works, and we'll walk out of here changed, hopefully, okay? You ready to go? Here's the prayer. Abba, Father, more of your Holy Spirit in me. That's it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words. Some of you are like, no, it's 10. Okay, prayer's got a colon. You take that out. That's 9. I know I went to public school, but I can count. Abba, Father, more of your Holy Spirit in me. I've been praying this prayer for over a solid year, and it's messing with me in the best way. I'm not perfect, but I feel like my walk with Jesus is as good as it's ever been. Now, I want to explain this because this is a little bit confusing for some people, and I'm going to do my best to just move the clouds aside so we can get into the meat in just a second, because some people are like, whoa, the work of the Holy Spirit, and I don't understand, baptized, filled. Okay, there's two things that the Holy Spirit does for us as believers, as followers of Jesus. Number one, we're baptized in the Spirit. And some people go, when does that happen? Glad you asked. At the moment of salvation. There are some people that believe you get saved and then later on you get baptized in the Spirit. The only problem with that is it's nowhere in the scriptures, and Jesus never spoke in tongues. If it was important, I think Jesus would have done it. I'm going to follow this man named Jesus. If he did it, I want to do it. If he didn't do it, I just want to stay away from it. And so he now, do I believe in tongues and prayer languages and all that stuff? Yeah, absolutely. 100%. If it's in the Bible, I believe it. But the Bible says that when we pray to receive Christ, we get the whole God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God doesn't say, I'm going to give you Jesus, but we're going to wait on that Holy Spirit to see how you do, because if he did that, none of us would pass the test. We are baptized the moment we pray to receive Christ, the moment we ask Jesus to come into our life, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us at that moment, indwells us, will never leave us, will never forsake us. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some are free, but we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So none of us got a different... When you pray to receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like, let's use this metaphor. You get a fully loaded 7 Series BMW that is upgraded every single day. The Holy Spirit, like I got saved in 1990. I don't have a 1990 BMW, okay? Which I wouldn't be mad about, let's be honest. But it's like a fully loaded car that has so much horsepower and so much torque, it can go anywhere. It is unbelievable. But if you know anything about a car doesn't run unless it has what in the tank? Gas in the tank. And there's some people in this room, like me, if it gets like right off the full thing, I'm freaking out. I got to pull over. I got to get some gas. Some of you, you get to empty and your light's coming on and you're thinking, I got 100 more miles. I'm going downhill. I think I'm good. So there's baptized in the Spirit, but then there's being filled with the Spirit. Now, some people go, well, oh my gosh, you're talking about filled with the Spirit, and that's when people get weird. Let me tell you something. That person was way weird before the Holy Spirit ever got involved in their life. No, I'm just being honest. They were just weird, and they blame their weirdness on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going, oh my gosh, I got enough problems. Don't blame that on me. Filled with the Spirit is like putting gas in the tank. God baptizes us in the Spirit, but then we and him work together on being filled with the Spirit.
Whose job is it? Is it God's job or is it our job? Here's the answer. Yes. Because this is what Paul said in Ephesians 5. And I love this verse. It said, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Huh. I know a guy. Can I stop and say, this past year marks 9 years that I graduated rehab, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. The reason I say that is not to brag on me, because there's nothing good about me, because if there was something good about me, I wouldn't have had to go to rehab in the first place. I say that to brag on Jesus, and I say that to brag on you, because thank you for giving me a second chance to be a pastor again. I never thought that this could ever happen, and I want to encourage somebody out there, when you feel like you're at rock bottom, you might be, but rock bottom is the best place to lay a solid foundation and start building your life all over again, and it can't be as good as it once was, but it can be better. Woo! I feel like we're having church today. If you laid out and you stayed home, you missed it. We're going to cut the feed right now. I'm just kidding. Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, which will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how does that happen? How are we filled with the Holy Spirit? And this is what we're going to spend the rest of our time on, okay? Letter A is worship. Now, anytime I talk about this, some people go, well, I don't really like singing. Well, there's a couple problems with that. Number one, you do like singing. You just like singing your music. Number two, when I say worship, singing is worship, but worship includes way much more than singing. Worship is everything we do, say, touch, and feel. Worship is singing in church. And it's also how we treat our spouse when we get in the car. Y'all feel that tension? I used to have people tell me, I want my kids to come into the auditorium with me. A little 3-year-old freaks out in the middle of the service. This would be my question. Why? And this is the most common answer. I'm not making this up. I want them to see me worship. This was my answer every time. You got Monday through Saturday. If you fake it all week, they're not going to believe you when you walk in here on Sunday and raise your hands in a song, because they're going to think, why'd they cuss the cashier out yesterday? Worship is when we experience or we encounter the presence of God. For me, this is my worship time every morning. This is me, that make me a good or bad person, just makes me, this is my worship time, is I get in God's word every single morning. It's a can't miss thing for me. And I've experienced the presence of God in my office in such a real way. On Sundays, I don't miss a service in regards to when the worship team's up here, when Ryan and the team is leading worship. I'm in every service. I listen to every song, every Sunday, every time, because I just love to get in the presence of God. The week that Shannon and I found out that the adoption had fallen through. I said abortion because I got a thought on abortion, but I'm not going to share it today. I'm going to share it in a few weeks. Don't get nervous. It's good. It'll make all the conservatives happy and all the hyper. Let me move on. When the adoption fell through, Ryan had said, "I want to sing the song Great Is" the following, that week, and I was like, "Okay, let's just sing that one." I love that song, and I was sitting right here. And Micaiah's up here leading that song, and she gets to that part where she says, he'll turn it around.
He'll turn it around. Don't know when. Don't know how, but he'll turn it around. And man, when I tell you I was in the presence of God in that moment, and I was like, I raised my hands by faith. I was like, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I just believe it's true. I had no idea. No idea that 2 weeks later I'd be holding our son. Just getting in the presence of God and let it, because you know what? You know what I discovered? For those of you that wrestle with depression, for those of you that wrestle with anxiety, it is impossible. I didn't say hard. It is impossible to be depressed or anxious when we are focused on the presence of God. And I'm not minimizing your anxiety, and I'm not minimizing your depression. I'm just saying, what if we spent less time talking about how anxious and depressed we were and more time talking about how great God is? I swear to you, it will make a difference. And praying for Jesus to fill you with more of the Holy Spirit, guess what? When we become more aware of who he is and what he wants, that's a good thing. Which leads to letter B. Letter B is word. By the way, these all start with W. I'm on a roll right now. Don't get your hopes up for next week, okay? I can't do it 3 weeks in a row. When I say word, I'm talking about the word of God. The more familiar we are with the word of God, the more material the Holy Spirit has to work with. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead us in a contradictory way to God's word. God's word and God's spirit always work hand in hand. God's word and God's spirit always work hand in hand. I'll give you an example from my youth pastor days. I was a youth pastor for like 8 years, and I had a couple, youth couple came to me, and they said, we have a confession. And I knew what it was. It was not, like, I just knew what it was. I'm not telling y'all I have discernment, but in this case, I had discernment. They said, this is why people shouldn't come to me and tell me stuff, because this is how I react, okay? They said, we're sleeping together. I said, no, you're not. They said, you can't say that. I said, of course I can. You're not sleeping together. You're having sex. There's a difference. They said, well, okay, well, that's true. But don't worry, because we prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit said it's okay. Now, before you get too mad, I've had adults tell me the same, well, we're having an affair, but we prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit said it's okay. Let me let you in on a little secret. It was a spirit. There may have been spirits involved in the decision with the spirit, but it was not the Holy Spirit. Because there are so many passages that I could take people to that say, don't do that. Was it 1 Corinthians 6 in the KJV says, flee fornication. I think we ought to bring that back. Flee fornication. Run, Forrest. I'm just saying that when we get freaked out, when we get worried, when we get concerned, the more familiar we are, I'll bet you my last Bible this has happened to somebody in this room. You're going through this season, you're going through this time, you're going through this struggle, and all of a sudden, this Bible verse just pops in your mind. You have no idea, you hadn't thought about that verse in years, you haven't read it in years, you can't even really remember where you heard it, but it's just something. At one time you saw it, you heard it, you read it, you might have even memorized it, and all of a sudden it just hits you, and you're like, what was that? That was the Holy Spirit of God. Because the devil ain't bringing a Bible verse to your mind. The last thing he wants us to do is focus on God's word. Letter C. Hold on. Some of y'all are so ready. This is the part where you don't like the message. Some are like, we were already there, Pastor P. We don't like it. Okay, good. You're going to dislike it even more. And let me tell you why. This is where it moves from prayer to participation. And a lot of people want to pray. But sometimes we don't want to participate. God, help me lose weight. But I'm not going to stop drinking 10 Cokes a day. Y'all feel that? I love that so much. Letter C is work. When you begin to ask Jesus to fill you with more of his Holy Spirit, he's going to lead you to either stop doing things or start doing things. And you have the opportunity to say yes, even when it's hard. So, it was a few months ago, and I remember this very, very vividly because Shannon and I got into an argument that was mostly her fault. The reason I remember that so vividly is because it's usually mostly my fault, but this particular one was mostly her fault. And so I said, I just need a minute. And so I went to another part of the house, and I tell her that's where I go to think and process. It's really where I go to pout for a minute. Because men, we love to go pout. We call it processing, but it's pouting. It's what we're doing. So I remember I got in the room, sat down. I was like, can't believe she said that. I got real silent, and I felt God whisper to me through his Holy Spirit. Apologize. Are you serious right now? Apologize. God, you know her. God was like, I know. He didn't say that. He said, apologize. And I had a choice in that moment. I could have white-knuckled it. I didn't have to obey. I could have white-knuckled it and been like, no, I'm not. She's going to apologize to me. I'm going to sit here until she does. I'd have died sitting in that place. Then it popped in my mind. You know, I've been praying that prayer, Abba, Father, more of your Holy Spirit in me. And if I'm praying that and he's leading me to do something, then I should probably do it. And it was awkward. I got up and walked in the kitchen. I was like, hey, I am so sorry. And she turned around. She turned around and she was like, baby, I am so sorry. It is like, that shouldn't have happened. She gave me a big hug and we'll just leave it there. It turned out good. Thank you. Woo-hoo, thank you, Lord Jesus. Speaking in tongues and laying. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just saying, when he leads us to do something, we got to do it. Because think about this, prayer is not a punishment, it's a gift. Prayer is also not a punishment, it's a promotion to a different level of thinking. So if God says, confess that sin, confess the sin. Stop the affair. Stop the affair. Too real? Stop stealing. Then stop stealing. Start serving. Then start serving. If we're going to ask Jesus to fill us with more of his Holy Spirit, we've got to be willing to work by walking it out with him. Whenever he leads us to do something, our answer is yes. Which, let me pause real quick and just say this. If you're in this room or you're in Columbia and you've prayed to receive Christ and you haven't been baptized yet, the Holy Spirit is absolutely telling you that's your next step. And the reason I know that is because that's in God's word. And if you won't say yes to that step, you're stuck. I love you enough to tell you, you will not grow in your relationship with Jesus. You won't do the rest of the things if you won't do the first thing. So you get that card filled out right now. Right freaking now. Let's stop playing games. Because there's one more. Some of you are like, you forgot it. No, I didn't. Last word is warning. This message comes with a warning label on it. Here's the warning label. Don't miss this. I want you to all get your blank filled in, get all your papers settled, get ready to sprint, and then look up here because I want you to see this verse. If you want the Holy Spirit to work in your life, if you want to grow closer to Jesus than you've ever been before, then Paul warns us, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't tell him no. Why? Because you'll lose your salvation? No. Because you can't pray, Jesus, fill me with more of your Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to do anything you ask me to do. That's a contradictory prayer. And eventually, the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life will get softer and softer and softer because our hearts are getting harder and harder and harder. And I don't want that for anybody in this room. I want for you, whatever God asks you to do, to just say yes. You want me to take that step? Yes. You want me to get baptized? Yes. You want me to forgive that person? Yes. You want me to ask for help? Yes. God, the answer is yes, because when the Holy Spirit begins working in our life and leads us to take a step, it's always for our good. It's not always easy, but it's always right. So Jesus, I want to ask you right now, as we sit here, God, that we would just have hearts wide open. And if you're here or you're in Columbia and you need to fill out that baptism card, you go ahead and get it filled out, because today we're not bringing it and putting some baskets when we leave. We're going to bring it forward and put it on the stage, or we're going to lay it in the baskets down in Columbia that Vicky put down front. We're going to do this today. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to do this, why would you tell him no? And for the rest of us today, what is it that we want Jesus to do in our life? In fact, if you don't mind, would you stand with me here and in Columbia and let's pray. Jesus, I want to ask you today, to these next few moments, that you would just move in a powerful way in this house, that we would hear your voice and know that you're speaking to us. And maybe you're here today and you feel a tug on your heart. You feel something pulling at your heart. You feel something telling you, today is the day you need a relationship with Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart saying, hey, let us in, let Jesus in your life. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, that's the best yes you could ever say in your life, saying yes to Jesus. Saying, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life to forgive me of my sins and make me brand new. And if that's you and you're in this room are in Columbia and you want to pray and ask Jesus to come in your life, I'm going to lead you in a prayer from this stage. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer, but I'm going to ask you to say it back out loud, because I want you to hear yourself declare these words over you. And don't worry about feeling singled out, because everybody in our Second Chance family, we're going to pray this prayer with you, so you'll know you're not alone. So if you want to pray to receive Christ, pray this with me in Second Chance fam. Let's let them know they're not alone. Just say, Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and you rose from the grave to pay for my sin. And right now, Jesus, I declare you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed all over this room. And in Columbia, if you just prayed that prayer, do me a favor. It's just me and you right now. If you just prayed that prayer and asked Christ into your life, would you just raise your hand straight up in the air and leave it straight up? Leave it. Praise God. That was quick. Thank you so much. Leave them up here in Columbia. Here in Columbia. Keep them up. Raise them up. Keep them up. You can put your hands down. If you just raised your hand, thank you so much. Good news. Your next step is baptism. Better news, we're doing it next week, and you can sign up right now. As we do this invitation, as we begin to sing and we begin to celebrate, if the Holy Spirit has moved your heart that baptism is your next step, please don't tell him no. Bring that card, put it on the stage. Bring that card, put it on the baskets. Invite as many people as you can next week, because this place, we're going to show the world how to throw a party, because God is going to be doing something special. So if you know that's your next step, take that card and go ahead and bring it forward as we sing and as we celebrate.